Well, praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus and I am coming to you from 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, zip code 74447, Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church. And I'm coming at this time because due to my job obligations, it's very difficult this time of year to make it here by 7:30 to begin Bible class at the regular time. So the Bible class will be up and available for any who looks at it at 7:30 or before or after. And so I hope that you'll take advantage of the Bible class, because we are living in a country that is pushing heavily towards the banning of the Word of God. Some people may hear me say that and say that's fanatical, but already the state of California has attempted legislation to ban the Bible. There's a city in California that has considered the Bible as an assault weapon. And so we're in a day and time where if you say something about not distributing a book that has pornographic material in it for third graders to see, you're considered as phobic and you're a book banner. But all the while, they're trying to get the Bible out of circulation. And we're going to have to make sure we're like David, who said, "This word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so we've got to hide this word in our heart that we might not sin against the Lord. Now, before we get started, a lot of people, I think, has asked for prayer, and I may not remember everybody, but I definitely want us to remember Evangelist Frieda. Keep her in prayer. Amen. Brother Larry Griffin, keep him in prayer. Amen. When the body starts acting up, it can really be difficult. Amen. I saw Deacon Collis on Sunday. He struggled through the service. He was here. Keep him in prayer for the various different things that are taking place in his body. First Lady, amen, has an ear infection. Please be in prayer for her to overcome that. Amen. Brother Andrew had an accident on either yesterday or the day before. He is okay, but his car is not, so keep him in prayer with a host of other saints and friends. Sister Crystal Campbell, amen, that the Lord bless her during this pregnancy, amen, that all goes well. All right, so there's many others that we want you to pray for. If you think about them, please pray for them. But today, this morning, I want to deal with the subject matter of "But still, I hope." But still, I hope. And just to give you a little understanding of what direction it's going is that, regardless of our situation, we are spiritual beings now. We have become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as new creatures, the same things that would have gotten us down before we came to the Lord, that would have stalled us, are the things that should not be able to do that now. As a sports fan, I've played sport, I've watched sport, and true competitors can be down in the points, but they still have hope that they can win. They believe that if they continue to do what they're supposed to do and play the game at the best of their ability, there's still a possibility, no matter how many points they're down, there's still a possibility that they can come back and win. And if people in the natural, if people doing carnal things can believe this way, how much more should we who believe in the Lord? So in Romans, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, verses 18 through 21, And again, I apologize for the early time, but this is when I'm able to do it. And so the Bible class will be available all day, and I ask that you like and share all of Mount Calvary videos. In Romans 4, verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now, this is speaking of Abraham. And I see you on here with me, Deacon and Sister Jones. Amen. God bless you. This is speaking of Abraham. And so most of you know the story, but let me just give a little bit of it. Abraham, I think, was 75 when the Lord told him that his seed would be like the stars or like the sand, innumerable, and a man wouldn't be able to number. And he hadn't even had any biological children yet at 75. But the Lord promised him this. And unlike us, when we feel like the Lord has spoken to us, we're looking for it right now. There's nothing wrong with expecting, but if it doesn't happen right now or tomorrow or next week, we shouldn't give up on it. We should know that the Lord is going to do this thing. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but the Lord has said it, and this is what I'm believing. So I'm going to continue to live for the Lord, do what I'm supposed to do, and wait for this to happen. So the Bible tells us that Abraham was about 100, and I think the exact age he was 99 when Isaac was born. So you've got a 24-year period between the promise that he was given and when it was fulfilled. How many of us can hold on to the hope of eternity even for a month or a year? And what I'm asking you is that a lot of time when people initially come to the Lord, they're all geared up and they're just excited. And then that excitement seems to dwindle, and they allow some things to come back in their life and that shouldn't be there, because they stopped hoping for the eternal life the way that they should hope for it. And because of that, other things begin to come in. So we'll cover that in the next scripture verses after these verses here. But let me read these bullet points. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So here's the bullet points. Too often we base our walk on what we can physically see. All right. Abraham based his on what God said. So, you know, heaven can be a very difficult thing for people to have hope in, since it is not something that you can physically see with your eyes. All that we have are the few passages in the Bible that gives us some description of what it is in glory. Amen. About the translucent streets of gold and the juniper and the jasper and all of these different kind of things. And you can visualize it in your mind. But since it's not something that you can go pass by, like if you're getting ready to buy a new car, you can pass by car lots and say, oh, yeah, I that's the model I would like to get right there. And while you're putting your money together, you're passing by there from time to time saying, that's going to be mine right there. So since heaven is not like this, you got to make sure you're thinking in the spiritual, you're doing things in the spiritual, and that's how you keep that hope alive in you, and you stay encouraged about that eternity. When you read the Word of God and you live the Word of God, you apply it to yourself, that hope will remain. And so Abraham did not base his hope on what he saw, because what he saw was him and Sarah, who already at the time of being given this promise were already initially too old to have children. All right, 75 and 65, basically what they were. That was already considered too old to have children. But yet against the normal understanding of man, he had hope anyway. So that's why we say today, but still, I hope because God said it. I hope because he implanted that in my mind, in my spirit. And regardless of what things look like, I can still hope. All right. And it's kind of a playoff of Maya Angelou's poem, but still I rise. And so if you go read that, you know, she's alluding to the fact, no matter how you treat me, no matter how you look down on me, no matter how many obstacles you put in my way, because I am determined, still I rise, right? And so if we can have that frame of mind down here in the natural, how much more so should we have it in the spiritual? Okay. So, another bullet point. There's often a huge gap between what God says and what we can see. My former pastor, Pastor F.M. Henderson, one time spoke stepping out in darkness. And I believe it was stepping out in darkness to get into the light, something to that effect. And initially, when you hear that, you think, what? You talking about stepping in the darkness? That sounds like some devilish stuff. But Pastor knew exactly what she was talking about. Because what she was saying is that with our physical eyes, it is very much like stepping into darkness. But you got to trust God enough to step into that area that you can't see with your eyes, but that spiritually you know that he has told you. And when you do it, that's when you will see the light. All right. So there's a huge gap. One scripture says, for God's ways are above our ways as the heaven is above the earth. And so just because we don't understand it does not mean that we should not follow it, that we should not do what the Lord is speaking into our spirit. All right. We cannot see eternity, but we have hope for it because it was promised. The probability of one so unclean, unholy to make it to heaven is very low. The probability of winning the war against the flesh looks overwhelming. Yet, against all normal prescriptions applied to man, we are, because of his spirit, able to hope against, or shall I say beyond, the regular normal eyes, what it can see. And so when the Spirit of God is in you and you trust the scriptures, you believe the power of the Lord, you're able to see beyond the spiritual realm. Promise to serve God, and anything is possible. That's right. And so when you decide to step out in faith to serve the Lord, in fact, one scripture says the just shall live by his faith. And so your faith is what's going to carry you through. Amen. You can't live on my faith, because you got to have it for yourself. I can tell you all kind of things that will pump you up. You know, before those guys go out and play a football game, a basketball game, they probably hear a rousing affirmation or encouragement before they go out there to play. And they're all jacked up and emotional. Yeah. But when you go out there, and you've got to start bumping up against other bodies that's just as big as your body and just as strong as your body, that rousing speech is not going to be able to be with you out there bumping with bodies. You got to start believing in what you're able to do, and you've got to start doing what you're able to do. And it's the same way here. As a pastor, as a preacher, I can preach the message and tell you all these wonderful things. You can see the faith that I have, but unless you allow that to be attached to you in your life, it's only going to help you for a short period of time, because you're going to have to face the actual spiritual tests and trials of this life, and you're going to have faith to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, all right? We believe if God said it, that settles it. even though our flesh can't see it or feel it. A wonderful friend of mine named Johnny Mae Henderson, she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she used to sing that song, "If God Said It, That Settles It." And almost every time our choir sang that song, there was going to be some shouting going on. She sang that song with an anointing like I've never seen anywhere else. And she believed it. If God said it, that settles it. And she started singing that thing, and the choir was singing that thing. And if you didn't believe it before you started it, there was somewhere along the line in that song that you did start believing. If God said it, that settles it. All right. And we've got to believe that. Verse 19 says, again, we're in Romans 4. Verses 18 through 21, this is verse 19. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen to this. Once we look at our condition, our limitations, we will diminish our spiritual outlook. So again, we have to look beyond ourselves, our own abilities, our own intellect, our own experience, our own strength, our own connections and contacts, because if we begin to look at what God promised and we start looking at how to get what he promised by our own limitations, we're going to lose hope. We're going to lose the ability to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Why is that? Because we're looking at it through our own abilities and not through God's ability. So we want to be very careful. First Lady, we are in Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 18 through 21, and we're on verse 19 right now. But we want to make sure that we keep the hope in us alive. You know, I know back in the 70s, that used to be a big thing. Keep hope alive. Well, I'm talking about a spiritual hope. I'm talking about the hope of making it into glory. And we've got to do that by not reducing spiritual things to our own carnal limitations, our own fleshly limitations. If I look at a trial or test in front of me, I'm not able to get victory over it if I start looking at my own mechanisms, my own abilities to deal with it. But when I look into the Word of God and apply the Word of God, it is easy to see how God is going to get me over through this thing, because God's word is powerful beyond anything that I will face. All right. Abraham did not consider his or Sarah's man prescribed and or normal condition whereby they could accept and even force a fleshly outcome, but knew God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think. Again, the scripture let us know that he was not weak in the faith, and he did not limit God by considering the deadness in his own body, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's body, because at their age, when the promise was initially given, they were 75 and 65, pretty close to that age. And as time went on, they got old enough where they were 99 and 89, and still were not looking at the deadness of the body, but said, God said it, he's able to do it, I'm still looking forward to it being done. Basically saying, but I still have hope, but still I hope. I'm going to hope regardless of what it looks like down here. Let me tell you one of the things that the enemy does to so many people. He keeps showing you your weaknesses. He keeps showing you your inconsistencies. He keeps showing you things that you have not been delivered from as yet. But you still got to maintain hope in what God has provided for you. You can only have hope for something when you know that it exists, all right? You know that heaven exists. You know eternity with the Lord exists. And you've got to know that there is an ability to get there. And if you look at yourself as the source or the ability to get there, well, you're going to be confounded, because you're going to keep looking at your inconsistencies, your inabilities, your limitations, and point, you will lose hope because you and I are unable to achieve that wondrous objective, that goal of being with the Lord throughout eternity, all right? But when we start looking at the power of God, instead of just simply looking at your inconsistencies, looking at your weaknesses, I want you to start reflecting on the things that God has already done for you. And once you look at the things that God has already done for you, you will see that the same God that was there for you to overcome those things is the same God that will help you to overcome this thing. And if you don't have power right now, if you're not able to receive the power right now to overcome it, God will give you that power to overcome it because he said they are clean by the word which I have spoken unto them. So it's up to us to stay in his word. It's up to us to trust his word. And in so doing, his word will come in and clean us up. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating again, that when Jeremiah says, just like fire shut up in my bones, when you go and you look at that word in the Hebrew, it's called the Aish. And I may be pronouncing the Hebrew word incorrectly, but I know what it means. And when you look at it, it points out that it is a consuming fire that will consume everything that is inconsistent with God. The word of God, he said, the word is as a burning fire, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. In other words, the fire of God by way of his word, it is so great in you, if you allow it to come on the inside of you, that it will begin to burn up everything that's inconsistent with God. So the things that you have not been able to be delivered from, the things that you cannot overcome because you're trying to do it by your own mechanisms, by your own ability, by your own prescriptions, and you're not able to do it, God said, if you trust my word, if you would read my word, meditate upon my word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is what's going to get you over what you are going through. So when you trust God enough to look into his word, and if you notice, that is the word and prayer are two things that the enemy fights you so strongly against. Put a sleep spirit on you, put a tired spirit on you, put cobwebs in your mind to where you don't feel like reading the word. But once you get started in reading the word, you will develop an excitement that says, I gotta read the rest of it to see where this is going. All of a sudden, and it doesn't make a difference where you read in the Bible, that word will get in you and you'll start bubbling up on the inside. Next thing you know, the things that have been tempting you that you were not able to overcome don't have the same triggering effect, don't have the same ability to draw you, because now you've got a shield. You put on the whole armor of God. You've got a shield upon you to keep you from being shot with the fiery darts of the adversary. Amen. First Lady said, put a distraction spirit on you. That's absolutely right. All of a sudden, other things become real important. When God wants us to read the word and pray, you say, oh yeah, well, I got to go take care of this with the car. And, oh yeah, I got to go look at these documents and see what need to be done. I need to wash that load of clothes. Whatever it is, the thing that we need the most is the thing that he keeps fighting us against. So I want to encourage you, people of God, to continue to have hope and to be able to say, but still I hope. We've got to have God's word on the inside of us. And through prayer, the word is cemented in us, because in prayer, you're having a conversation with God. God speaks to you by way of his word, and you are able to access him by way of his word. And your faith is cemented because he is declaring his word unto you in that prayer. Okay? All right, let's go back to these bullet points. Abraham did not consider his or Sarah's man prescribed and or normal condition whereby they would accept and even force a fleshly outcome, but knew God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think. Any deviation diminishes hope. We must stay in line with God's word. And so deviation is stepping outside the will of God, saying that, well, maybe I need to help God out and start doing this or that to help God out. No, you just need to stay in the word and stay holy. If God said he'll do it, he's going to do it. Now, sometimes you are used as the vehicle. Sometimes you don't know that you're being used to bring this thing to fruition. And sometimes you do know. But regardless, let it be God that is doing it, and instead of us devising fleshly mechanisms to get these things done in our lives. Amen. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. It's too hard, Lord. It's been a whole year since you promised me, and I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I just don't see how you're going to do this thing for me. Well, Abraham and Sarah, 24 years waiting on the promise. And as time goes on, their bodies are getting older and older, but yet they were fully persuaded that God would and could. All right, bullet points. God has promised us eternal life if we live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. Faith is reliance upon Christ for salvation, the ability to trust the word over the flesh. To be holy, for God is holy. If you are persuaded that holy living will result in eternity with Christ, you will not stagger. You still have hope. And this is the thing. When Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the adversary, and I don't think this is brought out enough, but the enemy messes with you psychologically. And too many people don't understand the psychological warfare that is being played. And of course, he was not able to accomplish any victory against Jesus, but Jesus showed us how to handle the psychological warfare. Now, here Jesus was, God manifested in the flesh, and he could have said things that were so extraordinary, so far beyond our intellect that would amaze us and make us marvel. But instead, he showed us in simplicity how to deal with things. And so the enemy says to Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, turn these rocks into stone. And Jesus turned these stones into bread, is what he said. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, why did Jesus say it that way when he could have said so many extraordinary things, but he made it so simple? Well, he knew we would be reading that. He knew that we would be looking at that, and we needed something that we could use. So that's something that we could use. And so what the enemy tries to do is tell you, oh, if you was really a child of God, this and that wouldn't be like that, and you would be able to do this. And then you start getting down on yourself and saying, well, you know, questioning yourself, well, maybe I'm not a child of God. Maybe I'm a pretender or whatnot. Quit letting the enemy deal with you psychologically that way. It is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities. Look, the enemy is trying to mess with your mind, and Bishop Taylor would tell you, don't let the enemy make a nest. All right, you can't stop the bird from landing on the limb, but you can stop him from developing a nest. You can't stop the suggestions that the enemy is throwing at your mind, but you can certainly keep the suggestions from growing in your mind and becoming something that it should not be, that deviates you from the hope in Christ Jesus. So people of God, please understand, He's always trying to mess with you psychologically, but what you have to do is tell yourself, I'm just going to continue to walk in Jesus. And if you do that and read that word and pray, apply that word to your life, meditate upon it and live it, you will overcome this psychological warfare. He told Jesus, he said, now if you're the Son of God, you can cast yourself down from this pinnacle, and the angels will bear thee up. Now remember, the enemy knows the scriptures. He know them better than any of us know them. He didn't know them better than Jesus, but he certainly knows the scriptures better than any of us know the scriptures. And just because scripture is being quoted don't mean that it is God promoting the scripture. That's why you have to be spiritual enough to understand. You have to be living this thing to know when it is God speaking to you and not some spirit trying to tempt you into doing something that you ought not to do. So he said, if you're the Son of God, you can cast yourself off of this high point and the angels will bear thee up. And so we've got to have enough sense, spiritual sense, to know not to do crazy things that will only result in diminished faith. All right. And so we don't want diminished faith. We're going to walk in the word. And walking in the word doesn't mean going down Rodeo Drive saying, Lord, I have faith for that Louis Vuitton. I have faith for that coach. I have faith for that Pierre Cardin. I have faith for that Armani. This is not what it's supposed to be about. That don't mean we can't have Pierre Cardin or Armani or coach or Louis Vuitton. It just means that that's not our primary objective. And if we trust God enough spiritually, I do believe that we can have some things materially that we like, but because we're spiritual, we will put those material things in their right place and they don't become our identity. They just become a possession that we have that we're thankful that the Lord blessed us with temporarily while we're here on planet Earth. But when you see that things are becoming your identity, that's something that God is not going to be trying to give you because he wants your identity to be with Jesus Christ. All right. Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 3-6. Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 3-6. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Let's read these bullet points. When you go through, now I'm talking about going through because you are a child of God, the enemy is attacking you. He's using people to attack you. He's attacking your mind personally, attacking your body, attacking your home, attacking from all different kind of angles. And so that's when you are going through. Now, don't tell me pastor don't have faith in God because he's talking about enemy being able to attack. Well, the Bible talks about that. Amen. The Bible lets us know we are troubled on every side. And the word trouble in the Greek is called phlipsis, which means afflicted, affliction. So we are afflicted on every side. Why is that? Because it is the enemy attacking us. It is not God. God has given us the strength to move through these attacks so that we can still have hope. All right. But the enemy is attacking to bring down our hope. And if we're 100% invested in the things that we own and in our body, in our kids, in our job, and all this kind of stuff, well, those are the areas he's going to attack to try to bring down your hope. But when you're fully invested in the hope of eternity, yeah, you still don't like these other things being attacked, but you're able to move through them gracefully. Why is that? Because your hope is in the things above and not things of the earth. All right, bullet points. When you go through trusting God, you always see his mighty hand. Again, when you go through trusting God, let me make sure I make you understand this. You can't go through things that are spiritual things and try to use fleshly devices to ease the burden. When you do that, you cut yourself off from seeing the mighty hand of God. I want to see the mighty hand of God, so I want to make sure that I don't use fleshly devices to try to ease the tension or the strain that I am feeling. I want to make sure that it is God that is going to show up with full deliverance. There are things that I have power to do that will give me temporary deliverance. There's things that I have the ability to do that will ease some of the burden. But if I want full deliverance, I must rely upon God, and I gotta wait to see what God is gonna do. And while you're waiting for God on that full deliverance, you're gonna be reading that word, studying the word, meditating upon the word, applying the word, and in so doing, you're going to see that those things that are coming against you are not as heavy as they once were, because the more word you get in you, the less heavy these things are that come against you. All right. Now, when you go through trusting God, you always, not sometime, if you trust God, you will see his mighty hand. Therefore, you are more patient in your trials because you know what God can and will do. Understand, we're talking about the scriptures we just read, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, what? Worketh patience. When you have to deal with whatever you deal with and you have enough spiritual fortitude to go through it gracefully, knowing that God is going to show up no matter how hard it is, no matter how many bullets you sweat, no matter how much angst arrive in your life, you're saying to yourself, I'm going to wait for the mighty hand of God. And God will show up because you're trusting him. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you trust in God, he will show up. Now, once you see God show up, the next time you go through something, you will have more patience because you say, I already saw what God could do. So now what it is saying, your trials, your tribulations do what? Worketh patience, because it develops the ability to be more patient because you've seen what God has done. So now a lot of the angst that you had before, the anxiousness that you had before, even though you went through it, but there was a lot of stuff bubbling up in you, but now you don't have that same stuff taking place inside of you because you've been there and done that. You saw what God was able to do. Now you're still saying, come on, Jesus, because I'm tired of this thing, but I know you're going to come through, so I'm just going to patiently wait, but I wish you would come right now. Now, if you don't come right now, I'm still going to live holy. I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to show up and worship and praise you. I'm still going to be the man or woman, boy or girl that I was before, and I'm going to grow in you. But Lord, I still want you to come right now. Who don't want the Lord to come right now? Amen. Now, on things on spiritual deliverance, those are things that you can speed up. Those are things that you can bring forth quicker if you would stay in the word and apply the word, meditate upon the word. And the more word you read, the less ability the enemy has to draw your flesh, because every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own fleshly devices, drawn away from those things, and he is tempted. And when you are tempted, when those things get up on your mind and you don't have enough word, then you will do those things that you've been tempted in. So we need the word in us. Right now we're talking about still having hope that God will deliver us from various different attacks that we are undergoing. But now we have more patience because we trusted God's mighty hand to move in that other trial. And now we have patience in this this one because we know what we saw the last time. All right. You are more patient in your trials because you know what God can and will do. Trials and patience give you experience in and of God, and you move spiritually to a place where you can say, I have peace that passeth all understanding. So now, your experience has been because as soon as you get out of one type of trial, it seemed like another type of thing sprouts up. Or you might have a little recess in between. See, all these charlatan preachers want to tell you that when you're in God, the sun is shining on both sides of the street, lions won't bite and snakes don't have venom, and everybody loves you and gonna treat you nice and with respect and all of that. Well, that's not the case. When you come to God, Jesus told the disciples, all men shall hate you for my name's sake. Because of who I am and because of you trusting in me, men will hate you. So we're going to have to go through some things. He said, you think I came to bring peace? I came to bring a sword. I came for a mother to be against daughter. And understand what he's saying isn't that I want to create this unity in the household. But what he's saying is when you have a well springing up unto everlasting life on the inside of you. You got the word in you. You're going to have people in your own family that's going to it's going to create friction with them because they don't want what you have and they want to diminish what you have. So then you're going to have this friction between one another. So when these charlatans tell you that everything is just going to be beautiful and everything's going to be at peace with you, the lion and the lamb laying down together. Well, that will happen, but that ain't right now. All right. And so, but even though things externally are coming against your flesh and creating havoc every which way you turn on the inside, you can have peace because you know where you're going. You know that the eternity that's provided for you is there as long as you continue to live in Jesus, as long as you continue to do what needs to be done in the Lord. So experience in and of God, and you move spiritually to a place where you can say, I have peace that passeth all understanding. Now, this causes you to transition to an unmovable hope. And this hope maketh not ashamed. Maketh not ashamed, in other words, you won't continue in sin because of that blessed hope of eternity. So when your mind is already in that place, you have transitioned in a way already. And that's the sub theme of this message is, but still I hope, and the sub theme is in transition, because even though we are still here in this physical fleshly shell, but because of what we believe, in whom we believe, and what he has in store for us, in our minds, in our spirit, we have already left this shell and we exist on another plane. We exist in glory with him in our minds, in our spirit. And that's what keeps us motivated. That's what keeps us being able to live the life that we should live in Christ Jesus. And that's why the scripture says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because when your hope is established in things eternal, you won't do the things that are temporal. You won't allow yourself to live in sin, to be dominated by sin. Now look, the world loves to say, y'all ain't no different from us. All of us sin daily and fall short of the glory of God. Sinning daily, when the Bible says that, is not purposing to live in sin. What it is saying when it says that I don't care how righteous you are, all of our righteousness is as unto filthy rags. No matter how holy I live, I do not come up to the level of holiness of God. I still commit mistakes. There's still thoughts that come through my mind. There are things that I will say, not because I planned it or purposed it, it's because I'm still stuck in this sinful stuff here. And I'm still prone to some of those things, but what the Spirit of God will do is reveal my weakness to me and strengthen me over my weakness, so that the same thing I did on yesterday, I won't do today. And whatever I did today, I won't do on tomorrow. So we're constantly growing and growing towards eternity and growing away from our own fleshliness. All right. And so when you have this hope of eternal life, you won't be bogged down in sin because of wanting to be there with the Lord and feeling it. That we are already there spiritually, it causes us to say, Lord, I don't want to do anything. And when the enemy comes against us, no matter how strong the temptation, we will rely upon the Spirit of God. We will rely upon His Word, and we will rebuke ourselves. We will rebuke the adversary, but we don't just rebuke by saying, I rebuke. We read that Word and call up the Word into our spirit so we're strong enough to withstand the wiles of the adversary. Now listen, I want to liken it to this. Have you ever been in a situation where there's something you wanted or a place you wanted to go, but you really didn't have the money for it? But you determined in yourself that this is something I'm going to do. Let's call it a vacation. Okay, you want to go to the Bahamas, all right? And right now, you know you're too broke to go to the Bahamas, but you have set a goal for yourself and say, next year at this time, I'm going to be taking a trip to the Bahamas. Now, before you made that commitment, you looked up what trips to the Bahamas cost. Am I right? So let's say I'm just going to use a round number. We know it's more, but let's say it's $1,000. And so far, you've been working for 7 years and hadn't even saved $200, okay? Don't have $200 nowhere to be found. But you've decided that you want to go to the Bahamas. What made you decide that? You heard some people talking about how great the Bahamas is, the white sand and the pleasant temperature and the wonderful people in the Bahamas. And you've seen pictures of the hotel rooms and all of this kind of stuff. You're like, boy, that'll be a grand old place to go. Well, when the gospel is preached along with the gospel, the eternity with Jesus Christ is preached and it establishes something on the inside of you saying, I would surely like to go there. I'm hearing about this and I would like to go. They're telling me what John said about that place. I sure would like to go. But what man builds a house without counting up the cost? You've got to realize there's a cost associated with being able to make it to eternity, but you've got to have enough moxie to you to say, whatever the cost, I'm going to make it there. Whatever the cost, I'm determined to get it done. So here it is. You want to go to the Bahamas. You've been working for 7 years, hadn't even saved $200. Not, your shoebox don't even have $200 in it. But because you set a goal for yourself, you said, this is what I'm going to do. Every paycheck, I'm going to put aside $50. And by the time that time comes, I'm going to have more than enough money to make it to the Bahamas. All right. Now, when your next paycheck come, it's going to be really hard for you to set aside $50 because you haven't never done that before. It is going to be so difficult because with your extra money, you've been buying Doritos and soda pop and going to the arcade and whatever you was doing with the money. And you still want to do these things, but the overwhelming desire to make it to the Bahamas is stronger in you than to eat the Doritos and go to the arcade and these other things. So, but here's the thing. Your payday comes and you don't set aside $50. You set aside $35. But guess what? That $35 is $35 more than you ever have set aside before. I hope y'all see where I'm going with this. There is something in you, a drive, where you want to get to the Bahamas. So you are going to do something. It's not as much as you determine, but you're going to do something. Let me tell you something. After a few months pass by and you look in that shoebox and it looks like you got $180 in there, your heart starts beating. because you're thinking, wow, I'm really on my way. I'm really going to be able to do this thing. You establish even more hope in yourself as you travel the road to establish that thing taking place. And so the more you save, the more excited you become about the trip. Because why? Now you know you're taking the proper steps to actually make this thing happen. Glory is there for us. Eternity is there for us, but we do have to take the proper steps to make sure that we get what's there for us. Remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. So let's make sure we understand that just because you say the name of Jesus does not mean that you're guaranteed to go to heaven. But the hope in you will cause you to do things that will guarantee your place in glory, because you the more you put in, the more you can see of that being closer to you. So here it is, 6 months pass, and you look in that shoebox. Lo and behold, there's $630 in there. $630, but that's $130 more than I needed by this time, because all I needed by this time was $500. Now, that doesn't make you decide to pull some money out and spend it. You're so excited now that the next paycheck, you're looking forward to what else you can cut off that you usually spend money on, and maybe I can put $70 in the box this time instead of $50 in the box. And let me tell you something. By the time that you're 2 months out from that Bahamas trip, 3 months in advance, you already put down payment on it, and you know it's about to happen. You can't hardly sit in your chair at your office. You can't hardly sling the mop at your job. You can't hardly do nothing without thinking about the Bahamas. Everything you do, you're thinking about the white sand and the water and the beautiful hotel room and the great dining and all of this kind of stuff. That's in your mind, permeating your mind, and it has you so excited. That last couple of months, you liable to go without any kind of personal pleasure things that you usually do just to stack up more money to make sure that this trip is going to happen. People of God, in our natural life, we understand the sacrifices that have to be made to accomplish our goals and objectives. And when we do it, we absolutely love it. And we're so glad that we're able to do the things that we set our minds to do. That makes it even that much more enjoyable, that we didn't just stumble up on the money to be able to take the trip, but we worked towards it to make it happen. And it's an accomplishment to do that. And then the joy and the pleasure of taking the trip. So listen, we understand that in the natural. Please let us understand in the spiritual that we have to work towards this objective. You don't just come to church on Sunday mornings and by coming to church, I'm guaranteed a place in glory. No, you have to become a minimalist, and I hope an extreme minimalist. And what does that mean? Just like sacrificing for that trip, you have to shave off things that you normally spend money for. Just like that, going to heaven, you're going to have to shave things off that this flesh wants to do. The things that this flesh has normally done cannot do that anymore. So little bit by little bit, and sometimes much by much, you're taking things away from you that would keep you from being able to go to eternity. Because remember, no sin is going to enter into glory. And so if we have any continual sin in our life, that's going to keep us from making it in. If we are practicing sin, there is no way we're going to make it in. So that's why, as each day passes, we're sacrificing We're killing this flesh. We're mortifying this flesh. No, we're not cutting it. We're not putting poison in it. But what we're doing is we're smothering out its ability to sin. How do we do that? We do it by way of the word. We read God's word. We study God's word. We meditate upon God's word. And God's word goes in to us and bubble us up with spiritual joy, and also at the same time takes away our fleshliness. And if we do this on a consistent basis, then we get more and more excited about what this is bringing to bear for us, which is eternity with the Lord. Hope maketh not ashamed. And hope in eternity will not allow us to go out and commit sin, all right? Hope in eternity makes us have joy even in the midst of great overwhelming circumstances, tribulation, trials in our life. We still have joy. Why is that? Because when this life is over, it ain't over. We get to live forever. There are some that go on to eternal damnation, but because we're serving the Lord and becoming minimalist and we're shaving off the things that the flesh want to do, we know we're getting closer and closer and closer to God, to the eternity that is with Him. So don't let this world fool you, people of God, telling you that you don't have to do all that because, you know, you're going to heaven anyway. That's what these fake preachers are preaching out here. They got you concentrating on accumulating physical material things because basically they're telling you you're going to go to heaven anyway. Well, that's a lie. If we don't do these things that I'm talking about here and putting our feet forward in God to do the things that God has called us to do and keeping His word in us and being prayerful and fasting, then we're not going to make it into glory. But praise be to God that we are the people that are going to do these things. We are going to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We are, as Elder Pope said in last week's Bible class, we are going to reveal the fruits of the Spirit. Don't do no good to be talking in a whole bunch of tongue that don't nobody understand. And you don't display the fruits of the Spirit. A lot of people can talk in an unknown tongue, and some of them are fake. And how you know they're fake? Because they don't have love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. They don't have any of those things. But when you are walking and displaying these fruits of the Spirit, that don't mean you won't deviate sometime. Because like I said, we still have this stuff here. And this stuff here, it don't like to live by the fruits of the Spirit. Every once in a while, you may get off track, but make sure you get back on track and never get off track like that again. Amen. There's going to be a little bit here and a little bit there where you see the flesh is not coming into subjection like it should. That's why you got to get into your word even more and read your word, study it, and meditate upon it. People of God, I'm excited. I'm far from finished on this message, but still, I hope. And so if the Lord permit me to come back next Tuesday, we're going to part two of this because I want to make sure we get to the transition aspect of it where how you know that you're going to make it to heaven is that you have already transitioned in your mind. You're still here physically, but because you are a spiritual being, you are a new creature, that means you have a new nature. You have new objectives that are different from the objectives that you had before you came to know the Lord. Before you came to the Lord, your objectives might have been making it to every Friday and Saturday night parties, and your objective might have been chasing women or chasing men. Your objective might have been getting high or drunk and all of these kind of things. That's all you had in front of you. But when you came to the Lord, your objective became that which is beyond anything that you can see or do here on planet Earth, an objective that allows you to live forever. And so in your mind, you have already transitioned. That's why the scripture can say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, because when you're redeemed, even though you have not been fully taken out of here, in your spirit, in your mind, you have already received by faith that which the Bible, the Word of God, has said. People of God, we've got prayer Friday night. Amen. At 7 o'clock on the phone line, First Lady will be directing that. And then we have service beginning at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And then we have the Oklahoma State Council coming up June 7th through June 10th that I hope as many of you as is possible will attend. Amen. So thank you for being on this Bible class. Tell somebody about it. Share and like, and then let some of the other saints know that it is posted and available for you. God bless you, people of God, and keep the hope in you alive for eternity. And if you keep the hope alive in you for eternity, the other things that you have desired, many of these things will come to fruition, all right? But don't make the temporal things your primary. Make the eternal things your primary. God bless you. Love you, people of God.